Hello, everyone. Mark Rosen from WCCO Television here at Winter Park. In conjunction with Black History Month, the Minnesota Vikings have invited us to take part in a wonderful discussion about individuals who experienced firsthand what it was like to in great respect, to grow up during the Civil Rights Movement and beyond. And we have three of the greatest Minnesota Vikings with us. The captain himself, Jim Marshall's here, number 70. Gene Washington, an outstanding wide receiver with the Minnesota Vikings for a number of years. And, of course, Matt Blair, wonderful linebacker. All of them been very involved in this community for many, many years as well. And out of respect, gentlemen, I think we have to start with the captain here. Jim Marshall, first of all, welcome. And you hear the term Black History Month. From your perspective, what comes to mind, not just as an individual, but as a former NFL and college football player yourself?
Well, you know, the first thing, obviously, that you think about is back when the Civil Rights Movement started with Dr. King. And you think about how senseless his murder was and how much good he could be doing today. And you think about how little the people today know and understand what that civil rights movement was about.
And from a football standpoint, how did it affect you as you were from a competitive standpoint from your college days through the Minnesota Vikings? And how did Dr. King affect you?
Well, it affected me a lot because I was right in the, you know, when I came out of college and went into pro football, there was still racism, you know, even in football. Mm-hmm. There were no white and black roommates. If you had an odd number of white guys, an odd number of black guys. The odd guy got a single room, you know, so they didn't put you together. We went to hotels that the white and black players couldn't stay in together. So they would pull up and call off the names of all the white guys and have them go to this hotel, and then they'd drive you to the inner city and put you in a black hotel.
What year was this, would you say?
This was starting back in 1962.
And I'm thinking as we segue to Gene Washington here, this is for folks who have watched the movie 42, the Jackie Robinson story, I'm thinking, well, this is 1962. Aren't we past this yet? And you went to high school in Texas, and you have a unique story as well. Tell us about your high school experience in regard to civil rights and race and everything else, Gene.
Yeah, my home city is La Porte, Texas, right outside of Houston. And all of the time that I was in school, growing up in La Porte, Texas, everything was completely segregated. And so the school system was only the first grade to the eighth grade, and then as you go into the ninth through the 12th, you were bused to another school, which was in Baytown, Texas. So I was bused because of segregation to the all-black school, which was in Baytown. And so everything was segregated, the hotels, the theaters. We had to go upstairs for theaters, in terms of the water fountains. And there was a kind of an informal curfew where blacks were not allowed to be on the streets after dark. So we had to make sure our family, my mom and my dad and all of our cousins, we had to make sure that we were not on the streets after dark. And so all of the years that I played in high school, everything was completely segregated. We played in an all-black league. And in the school, La Porte and Baytown, they had huge all-white schools, but we had the separate school. And so I got a chance to go to Michigan State mainly because of Bubba Smith. Bubba Smith's father was a football coach and very close to Duffy Doherty. And so my knowing Bubba, and Bubba was about, as you remember, he was about 6'7", yes. 280 pounds, and everybody in the country wanted to recruit Bubba. But all of the Texas schools, the University of Texas, Texas Tech, the University of Houston, Rice, TCU, all of those schools were closed to black students. Not only athletes, but students couldn't attend school. So Bubba goes to Michigan State, and he comes and tells me, because we played against each other, that I'll put a good word in for Duffy. So I go to Michigan State only because of Bubba's recommendation, And Duffy and the football program had no knowledge of my playing football, how good I was,
right.
That I ran track. They had no knowledge of that, and only because they really wanted Bubba. And so I'm very grateful that Michigan State, for many, many years, has been a pioneer, really, in integrating that university.
It's fascinating as we go through, excuse me, the decades and Matt Blair, I think of, you know, the movie Remember the Titans. And this is now, we heard about the early 60s, now we're in the early 1970s, and yet when Denzel Washington played the football coach and I think outside of Virginia, and you think of, this was happening all in the 70s. So in your lifetime, and you went to Iowa State, what, and you're listening to these gentlemen right now, what resonates with you when you hear these stories and how it maybe appeal to you as well?
Well, to I guess identify what took place, and I think what made it easier for me at that time and age, that when I was born in Hawaii, my dad was in the service. So we moved in different locations wherever, from Alaska, Spain, okay, Idaho, Texas. And when I was in Texas, and this is really, it hit me big time, where you're at a white school, and I was the only black guy there, and I was picked on a lot. And so at a point where I went, this guy kept bugging me, and he wanted to take me out, and everybody wanted to go and watch it. So, okay, I'll meet you out there. So we went out there, and we did some fighting, and then the cops came, and we all left. We all left, and then I was told that I was supposed to go to the courtroom next day, and I went there. My mom and dad couldn't come, but basically the judge said, all right, how did he break his arm? And I said, I didn't break it because we didn't really get started into it. So anyway, so after all said and done, I told him, the judge said, I don't want to see you here again. So that kind of put me in my position to go back to being normal. So again, you know, getting to that point and trying to get to when I came to the Vikings, and it's like most of the stuff in the past from Martin Luther King and what he had put together for us and as black people, it was just something that you remember and you try to focus on. And when I came here, these guys had already been here, and when I came in, it was just a little bit easier, okay, on the mental side. Because of what Jim was saying, that they couldn't, you know, have black people in a hotel with white people. And it's like, those are teammates. Yeah. So when I came here, it was just outstanding to have that opportunity that I didn't have to go through what they went through.
Were there roster quotas, Gene, when it came down to it? Or was it just in high school and early college? I mean, was it just best player available? Did you sense that from the coaching staff at all?
My sense was that when I was at Michigan State, the idea of the fairness and equality, I always had that sense that that's what was going on. Mm-hmm. Even at the Vikings, I always had that sense there was a fairness about the organization and equality and all of that. But basically, the only experience I had when I came here with the Vikings in 67, we were looking for an apartment over off of Lake Nokomis. I never forget this. So we're looking for this apartment, and my wife and I went into this realty office, and the person was very nice to us, and we explained to them we were looking for an apartment. But I didn't tell them I was with the Vikings or anything. It's just that I had just gotten drafted. I'm looking for an apartment. So very, very nice, and but it was, he explained that they just didn't have anything in the area at the time, so I didn't think anything about it. So my wife and I proceeded to leave, and there was a kind of a long walkway, and another person who's a realtor in the same office, and this realtor recognized me. And he said, well, you're Gene Washington, the Minnesota Vikings. You're just the first-round draft choice, and I know why you're here. You're looking for a place to live. And I said, yeah, we are. He said, well, hey, there's a lot of places in this area, apartments and condominiums and everything. So my wife and I kind of looked at her. I said, well, I wonder what's going on, because we were not expecting discrimination in housing. It's just that we were going to find a place. So that told me right away that even back in those days, if you're Minnesota Vikings and you happen to be black, you're accepted.
Yeah.
But if you're just an everyday person, if you're not associated with the Vikings, you could be up for some hard time.
Well, and so really the bottom line to a great extent is the very people who would be theoretically cheering for you and a name on your back and a uniform number on your back would be just discriminating against you the other 5-6 days of the week, or many times sending hate mail, which is not uncommon, Jim, in your era. I don't know how it was all the way to the mat. I know Tony Dungy received it as well. So, I mean, it's important for people to understand this, that this is not, we're not talking the 40s here or 50s. We're talking 60s, 70s, and maybe beyond.
70s, yeah. And 80s.
Yeah, I mean, you would get a lot of this stuff?
A lot of it.
Yeah.
A lot of hate mail. It was a situation where even as a football player, you know, there was a certain amount of respect that you got. But if you were in an area, like if you went to northern Minnesota,
right.
And they didn't know you were a football player, you couldn't get gas at a service station.
Matt, you went to Iowa State.
Right.
What was that experience like for you and then coming to the Vikings a little later? Because we're talking early 70s at this point.
When I went to Iowa State, I went to junior college in Oklahoma first, and then I switched up to Iowa State. And as I got there, Bowman, he said, Matt, when you come there, you need to be on the fourth team, and then you move yourself up to the first team. And as I was going through that process, I was being bullied by some of the offensive players. Most of the defense players didn't matter, but the offensive players, they yelled at me. And I was walking down the back way of the stadium one day, and one of the white players saying, he gave me some stuff, and I didn't really understand why he was doing that to me, just bullying me. And I'm saying, just let that go. And he wanted to fight about it, and I didn't want to fight, so I just moved on. And it's kind of like one of those things that makes your mind go away because you don't want to be a part of that, and you just want to be focused on what you want to get accomplished. And so I let it go. But when we got out on the practice field, he came and hit me a few times extra that he shouldn't have. And Johnny Majors, my coach, he was saying basically, don't be doing that. And I said, well, coach, you need to talk to him because he's telling me a few things I don't want to hear. And so that's how those things worked at that time. But come from Iowa State, I kind of like, it was just a blessing to come from Iowa State because my senior year, I hurt my left knee, and then I basically had to go back over and do it again. But the best thing about it was I ran the 40 a little bit faster. But outside of that, you know, I wasn't picked on anymore after that. And I think what Jim Marshall said, that if you are a Viking or if you're an Iowa Stater or whatever you are in sports, people respect you a little bit easier than in the past, because I think at my time coming into the NFL, into college, it was a little bit easier for blacks.
What about internally in the locker room where you have different people from different walks of life, black, white, whatever it might be? Did that, was it just a matter of just all being as one and looking as a common goal?
It was funny, you know, you got to be friends with people like Lonnie Warwick and Roy Winston, and they would tell us some of the stories that they would have, the questions that they would have to answer when they got back in their communities. And one of them was, how's it feel to be showering with black guys? Do they really have tails?
Oh,
and I'm going, man, how do you answer that? It was really crazy. But for the most part, once you became part of the team, there wasn't any hostility, nothing bordering on racism.
As we wrap up this discussion, Jim, let's start with you in terms of how football helped overcome all these barriers. And in retrospect, where would you be without football?
Without football?
Yeah, I mean, where would it have been if you think back to...
I look back and, well, the first thing I do is look back at some of my classmates in high school,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to be singers, and they wanted to be, you know, like today, kids want to be rappers. They think
right.
if they rap, they're gonna, you know, get to the top. Or if you're a good football player, mm-hmm. you know, you wanna be the best football player. And they forget all about education. you know, and education is the key. You have to have, because that's the foundation for everything else that you do in life. And I look back at some of the guys, and they're still on the corner, the ones that are still living. They're still on the corner back home and, you know, not doing very much. But they forgot all about going to school because they thought they were, you know, hot stuff. They'd get a little singing group or something and stand on the corner and people would watch them and, sure. and they'd think, oh, yeah, we're going to make it into big time.
Did going through all these experiences make you tougher mentally as well, even the stuff that was hard to deal with, Gene, at that time with Jim?
Yeah. I would say that it really makes you tougher because when I look back, I had a chance to go to Michigan State, a great opportunity, and I took full advantage of that. I have great friends and memories of Michigan State. Just the university giving me a chance in our society. And I just did everything I could to make sure that I was a good student, make sure I played football and all of that. And then the Minnesota Vikings drafted me, just giving me an opportunity. And so I was gung-ho to do the best that I possibly could. Then I went on to Denver for my last couple of years. But one of the things that it really means a lot to me, that word student-athlete. And we don't hear the word student enough. You know, we talk about the athletes in terms of how great they are, how fast they can run, and if they have a bad game, you know, we're down on the athletes. But never, very few people in all of the marketing and everything, you don't hear the word student too often. But as I said earlier, I'm just so grateful.
Yeah.
And I thank God every day that I had an opportunity. And that's what this country would really be about. And when we think about Dr. King, mm-hmm. he just said, hey, an opportunity for everybody. That's all we're concerned about. And that's I'm just so glad I had a chance to experience that.
On that note, I think we can end this wonderful panel discussion with the Captain Jim Marshall, Gene Washington, and Matt Blair. Gentlemen, thank you so much for wonderful insights, and I hope this is just the beginning of a great many conversations to come.